Progressive.com.
And support for WMNF comes from our members and Goodwill. The annual book drive for Goodwill's childhood literacy program, Bookworks, is now underway. Donations of children's books labeled for Bookworks will be accepted at any Goodwill store or donation site now through March 15th. Goodwill will make sure they are given to children who may not otherwise have books of their own. More at goodwill-suncoast.org. And turn that great ride into great radio. WMNF accepts all types of vehicles, including SUVs, trucks, RVs, as a form of support. Even boats, it's easy to give, and we'll handle everything from the free pickup to the donation receipt. And to learn more about how to donate a vehicle, visit WMNF.org or call 888-966-3888. Five. Good afternoon. You are listening to WMNF. This is 88.5 FM, community radio from West Central Florida. Welcome to Executive Session. This is a forum for discussion of the executive branch of your United States government. My name's John Gilmore, and I host these sessions each weekday, Monday through Thursday at this time. We hold a conversation, and in that conversation, we welcome all viewpoints. We require civility in the conversation because we think that radio can still be the back fence of the nation, which is a place for reasonable people to hash out the issues of the day and walk away enriched even if they still don't agree. You can join the conversation at 813-239-9663. That will get you in contact with Mr. Jimmy Lyles this afternoon. Jimmy will answer your call. You're going to want to know your first name, where you're calling from, maybe a word or two about your subject, and then he'll get you ready to step in here and take the floor. You can reach the studio by email at dj@wmnf.org and by text at 813-433-0885. I rarely get to look at emails and texts during the session because I am not a successful multitasker. Be sure and find Executive Session on Facebook and like and follow the page so that you can see all the links to the material we're discussing that day and join the discussion there. Well, the seismic activity started early this week, but it's Thursday, so Flight Leader Sheila, would you please prepare the cabin?
Ladies and gentlemen, Captain Gilmore has informed me there is turbulence ahead. Please turn up the volume and fasten your seatbelts. It's Buckle Up Thursday.
Yes, it is. We call it Buckle Up Thursday if you are new to the sessions, because we have noticed in the 2 years that we have been on the air that for reasons we can't quite account for, sometime between 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Thursday and the next Monday, something happens. Some huge something or other breaks loose, and then, you know, the next thing you know, we're all riveted on something. Well, the president was in Hanoi this week to negotiate the denuclearization of North Korea. And the first thing we heard was that the U.S. would no longer demand a full accounting of Kim's nuclear or missile arsenal, which begged the question, how do you verify denuclearization if you don't know the inventory? Well, that question didn't persist for long, because then the negotiations collapsed when, in return for closing their Pyongyang facility, Kim demanded the lifting of all sanctions. So with regard to the Hanoi trip, were you expecting an agreement? Did you think that Kim would discard the nuclear arsenal he's been building for years? And of course, could we negotiate disarmament without a full accounting of the weaponry? Did the North Koreans lose anything when the president walked out of the summit? And here's the big question, because this is the currency of the administration. Who won? Here at home, the seismic waves just kept on coming. And we'll be looking at the House Oversight and Reform Committee hearing of Michael Cohen's testimony. We were going to discuss this yesterday, and instead we brought you the testimony live. There's a link to his opening statement on the Executive Session Facebook page. We have an excerpt here that's going to be interspersed with some clips from Mr. Cohen's testimony. So here's an excerpt of his opening statement. Quote, "I'm ashamed of my weakness and misplaced loyalty, of the things I did for Mr. Trump in an effort to protect and promote him. I'm ashamed that I chose to take part in concealing Mr. Trump's illicit acts rather than listening to my own conscience. I'm ashamed because I know what Mr. Trump is. He's a racist.
Mr. Trump is a racist. The country has seen Mr. Trump court white supremacists and bigots. You have heard him call poorer countries dolts. His private, in private, he is even worse. He once asked me if I can name a country run by a black person that wasn't at all. This was when Barack Obama was president of the United States. And while we were once driving through a struggling neighborhood in Chicago, he commented that only black people could live that way. And he told me that black people would never vote for him because they were too stupid.
He is a con man.
Donald Trump is a man who ran for office to make his brand great, not to make our country great. He had no desire or intention to lead this nation, only to market himself and to build his wealth and power. Mr. Trump would often say, this campaign was going to be the greatest infomercial in political history. He never expected to win the primary. He never expected to win the general election. The campaign, for him, was always a marketing opportunity.
He is a cheat.
A lot of people have asked me about whether Mr. Trump knew about the release of the hacked documents, the Democratic National Committee emails, ahead of time. And the answer is yes. As I earlier stated, Mr. Trump knew from Roger Stone in advance about the WikiLeaks drop of emails. In July of 2016, days before the Democratic convention, I was in Mr. Trump's office when his secretary announced that Roger Stone was on the phone. Mr. Trump put Mr. Stone on the speakerphone. Mr. Stone told Mr. Trump that he had just gotten off the phone with Julian Assange, and that Mr. Assange told Mr. Stone that within a couple of days, there would be a massive dump of emails that would damage Hillary Clinton's campaign. Mr. Trump responded by stating to the effect, wouldn't that be great?
Now, Michael Cohen has a proven record of lying. In fact, he is just short of becoming a federal inmate, in part due to the fact that he lied. So, you actually had an opportunity yesterday here on your community radio station to listen to his testimony, to listen to his statements, to listen to the questions that were asked him. Do you think his testimony yesterday can be believed? As you heard what he said, does it match with what you have actually watched Donald Trump do and say? Let's talk.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played
songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days. And you knew when you were there.
Dance for girls and men were men. Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again.
Everybody pulled his weight.
G.R.O. was sour and great. Those were the
And we are in session. We are in executive session here on WMNF 88.5 FM in Tampa for a Buckle Up Thursday. We don't know what's going to happen, but so far, this week has been fairly seismic already. So, 813-239-9663 will get you into this conversation. We are going to talk about the testimony from yesterday. We're going to talk about the Hanoi summit with Kim Jong-un and its outcome, which is that basically the president walked away. He discovered, I suppose, I don't know how it is that their advance teams wouldn't know this, but they discovered apparently that Kim's bottom line was he would close Pyongyang, which is one of their nuclear facilities, and in return for closing Pyongyang, he wanted all of the sanctions lifted, and the president walked away. So, Peter in Tampa, what do you think of that? What do you think of what's going on? You got the floor.
Oh, hi. How you doing?
So far, not bad. It's early yet. We'll know more later.
All right. I want to talk briefly about the Cohen testimony. I watched parts of it, and I heard the little snippet you played just now to open your show up. There's two things that jump out at me, and in addition to all the other things and all the other lies that Mr. Cohen has been caught in, right after that testimony, and I find it interesting timing-wise that he gave this testimony that he heard Roger Stone on speakerphone right after there was an order from a federal judge telling Roger Stone he can't talk about any of this stuff, which seems timing-wise coincidental and convenient. But right after the hearing, Julian Assange sends out a tweet that said, "I have never communicated with Roger Stone in any way, shape, or form."
Mm-hmm.
And while I know that a lot of people out there don't necessarily approve of Julian Assange, perhaps, I think the man has a good reputation for honesty. I've personally been on his webpage, and I was surprised at the number of journalistic awards that he and his site have received. So I think he's a person who's generally the reputation of the community of journalists is somebody of honesty, and he has come out and flat out said, "I've never spoken to Roger Stone." Now, with that in mind, remember, they're talking about timing-wise a couple of days before these leaks came out. If you recall those leaks, 1 week prior to leaking all this information, Julian Assange sent out a tweet to the entire world saying, "I'm going to have a big document dump," and he sort of gave an idea of what it was about 1 week in advance. So I think Roger Stone or anyone else could have tipped off Donald Trump about what was coming without having had any inside information whatsoever.
It's so entirely possible. It's entirely possible. Here's one of the things that I keep in mind about Mr. Cohen and his testimony yesterday. He is already about to go to prison. He has lied to Congress and been caught and has been convicted or pleaded guilty or whatever it was that he did, but has ended up going to prison for it, or at least in part. And the chairman of the committee before which he was appearing, Mr. Cummings, told him flat out before he started, "If I catch you in a lie in your testimony before this committee, I will refer you to the Department of Justice instantly." And then he said in public during the hearing that he had told Mr. Cohen if he caught him in a lie, and these are the words he used, that if he caught him lying, he would nail him to the cross. Okay, so I think that Mr. Cohen has very, very little motivation to lie. You see what I mean?
Well, I see what you're saying, but you know, motive is just one aspect to look at. I think if you look at the facts objectively, it's very unlikely that Cohen was telling the truth about that Stone conversation.
Hmm.
I mean, given the fact that there was a public announcement a week in advance letting everybody know what was going to happen,
mm-hmm.
given the fact that Julian Assange has come out and flat out said no communications took place between me and Mr. Stone, I understand Mr. Cohen has been threatened, and I understand that would give him a strong incentive to tell the truth, but nevertheless...
it would me.
We have two people with two different versions of what happened. One of them has not been convicted of perjury and has a pretty good reputation for telling the truth.
Hmm.
The other one is a convicted perjurer.
So yeah, that first guy...
Which one of these two people are we going to believe?
That first guy... Now, I got to tell you, there's been a progression as in my estimation of Mr. Assange. When he first started doing what he was doing, the things that he was providing seemed to me to be whistleblower stuff. You know, the kind of thing where the government was doing stuff that was illegal or at least unsavory, and the only way that we were going to find out about it was for somebody with... kind of unauthorized access to get a hold of it and to put it out. And over a period of time, Mr. Assange has seemed to me to drift into partisan activism. Do you think there's any reason to believe that the only national committee he hacked was the Democrats?
Now, there is a point to that. It does seem like he has gotten somewhat partisan, but let's talk about that hack for a second. I'm not really convinced it is a hack. I'm of the school of thought that those documents all came from Seth Rich.
Hmm. Well, I'll tell you what, there is
a hack.
There is certainly a limitless scope of possible... you know what I mean?
Really interesting. I'll tell you the real interesting thing about the whole Russian collusion thing going on the last 2 years is that over these 2 years, no one has ever publicly spoken about the substance of those emails. And a lot of the substance of those emails was about basically how Bernie Sanders got screwed in the last primary election. And now here we are 2 years later. Bernie Sanders is already starting to run for the president again. He's relying on the DNC to get a fair shake. You know, at some point, maybe the media needs to pay some attention to the superdelegate system in the Democratic Party and to what happened to Bernie last time so it doesn't happen again. Because, look, I'll lay my cards on the table. I'm a Trump supporter. But if Trump got beaten, I would have much rather have been by Bernie Sanders because at least I might not agree with Bernie Sanders, but I think the guy believes what he says, which is more I can say for Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's another election and Trump's got to lose, I would much rather him lose to Bernie Sanders, who at least is a person who people on the other side of the aisle actually believe in and want to be president.
There you go.
We should start talking about the DNC and make sure that they don't screw Bernie again.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I am a lifelong Democrat, and I was very profoundly disappointed and annoyed at how the Democratic Party handled the primaries during that last election. I thought that what they did essentially was actively prevent what they should be encouraging, which is the arrival and the presentation of new Democrats and, you know, people that had new ideas and such. And I was really disappointed to see how they handled that. And I certainly hope that they have learned something in the ensuing several years. Listen, Peter, thank you very much for kicking us off this afternoon. I very much appreciate the cogency of your remarks, and I hope that we get to talk again.
Thanks for having me.
Sure enough. And we are at 813-239-9663, and that will get you in contact with Mr. James Lyles. Mr. Lyles will take your name, get you ready to step in here and have your say. He might even ask you a little bit about what it is that you want to talk about. I don't know. Lowell in Sarasota, good afternoon. You're in executive session this afternoon, and you have the floor.
Hello, John.
Hello.
Hello, you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, good.
And so can millions of people across the West Central Florida listening area.
Yeah, you got me nervous. Ah!
Remember what happens when you push that button.
Yeah, got it.
You're doing fine. It's just you and me doing having a little friendly talk.
That's what it feels like. So I watched the whole thing yesterday, the whole entire, 6 hours or whatever.
You have my most profound sympathies.
Well, you know, I know. It was, right, there were trying moments. But I thought Cohen did amazingly well. I thought he seemed amazingly honest, given that he had a number of opportunities. If he wanted to just come out and slash and burn, he could have gone a couple different ways that he didn't go.
Yeah, he seemed to stay pretty focused on the center line, didn't he?
Yeah, and the thing with the tape with him, Trump supposedly hitting Melania in the elevator, and he said, "Nope, that never happened. I just know that because that's not who he is."
Yeah, he actually that was a kind of an, because he could have said, "Gee, I don't know," you know, could have.
Yeah, right. Like, or I seen him push her, or you know, you know, he's been with him a lot of times, and nobody could refute that. But I thought he came across very well. And the stuff with, did Stone actually make that phone call? That's up to call records and stuff, you know, and other corroborating evidence. And nobody's going to convict anybody based on that one little statement that he made.
It would be interesting though, if there were call data to call back to see at around that time whether there were two phones connected and to whom they belonged, I don't know.
And that does exist. We know that exists.
Okay.
NSA has that, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. So, I thought it was a very interesting little exercise. I thought the Republicans made fools of themselves, even more so than usual. You can tell I'm a liberal, but... you know, I was very, very, you know, I was just like, oh my God, every time a Republican came up, everybody, I was watching with some friends, and we're like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
And they had the same kind of question. Do you have a book deal? He answered that 12 times.
Yeah.
You know, are you this? Are you that? Everything has already been like hashed out.
Well, I got to tell you, when your big move is a poster that says liar, liar, pants on fire, you don't have much.
You need some messaging help.
Yeah.
You need a PR person.
Yeah.
So there you go.
All right. Thanks a lot. I'm glad that you called, and we will talk again, sir. Sure enough. And you can reach us at 813-239-9663. We are going to step away for just a moment, and we'll be right back because we're going to let you know about some folks that are working with you to support your radio station and tell you a little bit about some of the stuff that is happening around here. Support for WMNF comes from our members and the Florida Law Group, protecting the rights of the wrongfully injured since 1984. The Florida Law Group is dedicated to creating strong and lasting connections with their clients and our community. More at thefloridalawgroup.com.
Hi, this is Angela B. We're back again. The Caribbean Cruise Music Festival will take place at Skipper's Smokehouse, Saturday, March the 23rd. Live bands include Impulse, Renegade, Jafarai, Trinity 7, Sucker Boys, Spy vs. Spy, Terry Edwards and the Latin Jazz Band, For more information, go online to WMNF.org. The doors open at 4 p.m. See you there.
Support for WMNF comes from our members and UF Online, providing education to qualified students. As a top 10 public university, online students earn the same degree as their on-campus counterparts. Students can apply by May 6th for fall. UF Online students don't just log in, they connect. All right, back to the conversation here in executive session on WMNF. This is 88.5 FM in Tampa, Clearwater, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, and all points throughout West Central Florida. And we are talking about, we can talk about a couple of things. We were invited to comment about the nuclear summit, the Hanoi summit, that was pretty highly touted. It seemed as though there was some pretty high expectation that there would be something worked out, and that apparently, rather abruptly, the president walked away from the summit because they found that the North Koreans were demanding the lifting of all sanctions in return for closing their Pyongyang nuclear facility. Now, if I recall correctly, Pyongyang is a major part of their nuclear program, maybe like Hanover or something was in this country. But we have also been told through the months and through the years that the Koreans have dispersed their nuclear program extremely widely, that it is buried and dispersed and it's scattered all over the place. And so the closing even of a major facility may not be a particularly meaningful gesture. And I wonder, Kim seems to have reached a point where he has confidence that he has working nuclear weapons and that he has a working delivery system. So once you reach the point where you're confident of your ability to deliver the weaponry, you can knock off the testing, can't you? I mean, you can stop testing once you are confident that you have a workable system. So I wonder if the fact that there haven't been any tests for quite a while is necessarily meaningful in any way. 813-239-9663. Ted, come up on out of there and give us a shout from the bunker.
I just looked in the bunker.
Uh huh.
My herpetologist says things are going well.
Good.
All right. Now, there couldn't have been any collusion between the Oversight Committee and Michael Cohen's attorneys that we're going to hold these while Trump is over in Hanoi.
Mm-hmm.
Only my thought.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't know how those things are scheduled, and I don't know when they were scheduled.
Yeah, I know. And you know what? I'm drinking bourbon, scotch, and a beer. And I'm buckled up.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're buckled up. That I hope that you stay safe, and we'll hear from you again. We'll hear from you again. Take care of yourself, Ted. 813-239-9663. We have to hear from the bunker on a fairly regular basis, so we know that things down in Ellenton are all right. Carl in Clearwater, good afternoon. You're in executive session, and you have the floor.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hey.
First, I want to tell you how much I enjoy your program and the fact that you also you give Trump apologists plenty of time to voice their views. I think that's very kind of you.
Well, I think it's, I actually think it's necessary. I think that we need to have a balanced conversation because nobody's all right or all wrong. You know, they're, you know, so we have a balanced conversation and we just do it in a civil fashion. That's all.
Yeah, the Cohen thing, I did watch a good bit of it, but the thing that I just couldn't get over is Cohen is just one of like five people that have been arrested and convicted that were very close to Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can parse words and you can tear everything into little pieces, but the bottom line is when five of your closest associates have been arrested and convicted, chances are pretty good you're involved.
Well, let's put it this way. It seems to cast a shadow. Could we at least get that far?
Cast a shadow, yeah.
You know.
They'll get around to Donald and his family. It's just amazing, though, that the Republicans, and I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I have problems with both of them. But the Republicans sitting there, and all they can do is attack. Like he wants to add to his jail time, like you were saying.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that was a very good point. But anyway, at some point, just simple common sense has to come into play. If you've got five or six people that are working closely with you, and they're all being arrested and convicted, chances are you're involved, and it's just very tiring.
Well, anyway, yeah.
I'll give my time up to somebody else.
All right, you yield back your time.
Yes, please.
All right, Carl, thank you. Thanks. You know, when the people around you are ultimately revealed to have had over 100 contacts with Russian people that they have withheld, it's hard to support the conclusion that there was nothing going on there. And the Southern District of New York, prosecutors down there and the investigators in the Southern District of New York, I think are probably the most dangerous thing that the president faces. It's possible that they're the most dangerous thing that the president faces because he has been running a sort of a very small, small in as far as tight, in as much as tight is concerned. It was a very rich organization, but very, very, a very small group of people that ran it. And so these practices, you know, once they start to show up, I think that his finances are among the most dangerous thing that he's likely to find exposure from, because, you know, he essentially ran out of American lending institutions. He essentially ran out of American financing and turned overseas. And he has been involved with Deutsche Bank, which was fined a massive amount for money laundering. And he had a lot of contacts with a lot of pretty shady crews overseas, a lot of banks that are renowned for actually being conduits for money laundering. So we'll see. It's very difficult to remain patient. One of the things that is hardest to do when issues are emotional is to maintain some sort of patience and wait for the outcome of the investigations and wait for the outcome of the process that's ongoing. So that's basically what I'm doing. I have some leanings in one direction or another, but as far as conclusions are concerned, I am not yet prepared to conclude. Ron in Largo, thank you for your patience. You are in executive session and you have the floor.
Well, as far as the nuclear deal thing over in North Korea, I think you're 100% right. I think they quit testing because they don't need to anymore. I also think that the timing of his summit was made to coincide with the Cohen testimony. just as a deflection more than anything else. However, I noticed on the news there wasn't much coverage. There wasn't much coverage on the news other than the Cohn testimony, so I don't think it did him any good.
One of the problems with the Hanoi summit is that it all took place on the other side of the planet, and almost everything that happened while this side of the planet was asleep.
Exactly.
You know, they would have a meeting at 2 or 3 in the afternoon. Well, that's 2, 3 in the morning around here, and there just aren't a lot of people up gazing at the TV.
Yeah, that's true. I think that Cohn came across, I believe he was very believable. I think he does feel some remorse, and I think it's mainly because Trump didn't show him any loyalty, so he wasn't going to. At first, I think he was thinking that, his loyalty would be, reciprocal.
Yeah, yeah.
So he went down south. The other thing is, he had already been sentenced and everything, so his plea agreement was taken care of long before this testimony that he's doing now. So I don't think any of this testimony is helping him in any way. Therefore, what reason would he have to lie about this stuff? The other thing to me is everything that he said about Trump is classic Donald Trump.
Yeah, that was what I was wondering. The stuff that you heard, and that's why I asked, does it match what you've actually watched Mr. Trump do and say?
I mean, long before he ever ran, this is the way the guy has always been. He's always been sideways pretty much about everything he does. Another comment on racism and the rest of it is pretty much come in line with the way the guy's been for 40 years. I don't see any of it being changed. And then, the senators, of course, the RNC and their usual, they're trying to discredit him. And what's up with that, the congressman, Jim, the one that was the wrestling coach guy?
Yeah.
I forget his last
Jeffrey,
name.
Jeff, is that Jordan?
Jim
Jordan?
The younger guy.
Huh?
The younger senator, he's congressman. I forget his name. He just went after him about this stuff. And I thought, I don't know if you watched Jimmy Kimmel last night, but I thought it was hilarious because he brought that up. And he said that guy had his head so far up. Yeah.
Carefully stated there, sir.
And that's why I said, and I said, boy, he got that one right. I don't know if he's trying to buy for a job with Trump later on down the road or what, but yeah. I don't think the Republicans did themselves any good.
I don't know. When you are literally wagging your finger at a witness, I think it speaks to the weakness of your argument. I'm not sure about that, but it doesn't seem like what I would call a strong debating presentation.
Well, and it seemed to me that they don't care about getting at the truth. I mean, the questions that they were asking were all about him being a liar, a convicted liar. And I thought, who do you think's sitting in the White House? Talk about the pot calling the kettle black.
Yeah, but the other thing is that Cohen was not disputing that. He walked in there and allocated to all of that.
Yeah, every time they brought that up to him, he said, "You're right."
Yeah, I did that. I did that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I did. I'm going to jail for it.
Yeah, exactly. And I sit here as about to be federal inmate number such and such.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, like I said, he had nothing to gain. And then, I always come back to the same thing. And then as if you haven't done anything wrong, then you've got nothing to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you try to impede an investigation? Why would you care who investigated what and how much they investigated it? Why would you care? If you're not guilty of anything, then, bring him on. I got nothing to hide.
I think it's a good point, and I have asked that question around some, and if you are truly innocent, if you are truly, truly clear that you did nothing, it would seem to me that you would be eager to support the investigation.
Sure.
That would prove it.
That's what I would. Us logically thinking individuals would think that. I think, I'll tell you what I think's going to happen. I think he's going to probably end up doing his 4 years. What I would like to see happen is that he does not get reelected. And then, like you said, I think with the Southern District and all this, his main worries are his financials,
mm-hmm.
which have been shady since day one. And you remember he even said, now if they get into my financials, yeah, that's a red line.
Yeah.
And that right there tells me, well, if that was a suspect, then why would you care?
Yeah. And what better way to get an investigator's attention than going, whatever you do, do not look in the trunk.
No. And I think that him and his whole family should have just stayed where they were, being what they did, doing their sideways stuff. I mean, who wants to be under the microscope of being the president of the United States when you run afoul? But I think it's his ego. I think he thought he was a Don Gotti kind of a guy who could pretty much get his way out of anything that he's ever done. But I think he's run up against it now, and I think there's no turning back.
Well, we shall see. I, like I said, am trying to remain patient to watch this whole thing play out. I was around for Watergate, and I know that took a long time. And I have been around for Iran-Contra, and I've been around for the Clinton and you know, the Clinton impeachment and all that. And I know these things take a lot of time, and it's really tedious. It is really, really tedious if you are emotionally invested in what's happening for it to go as slowly as it is.
Well, and I think Bob Mueller is the perfect guy because we haven't heard one leak come out of his office about anything. I think he's diligent. I think he wants to just get at the truth. And if Trump's done nothing, I think that's going to say that in that report.
Yep.
If Trump himself. Now, obviously, I don't believe that's true. I think when he was running for president, his campaign and everything, I think they've been in this. And he's a micromanager, and I believe he's been on everything since day one.
Yep. All right. Listen, I appreciate your call, and thanks, and I hope everything stays nice and tight out there in Largo, and we'll talk again.
All right. Thanks.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663. We'll be right back. Support for WMNF comes from our members and Goodwill, one of the original recyclers. Did you know that it takes nearly 1,800 gallons of water to produce one pair of jeans? And when those jeans are donated to Goodwill, they're sold in Goodwill stores, and the proceeds support employment services for people in the local community. Goodwill shoppers and donors promote a greener community. More at goodwill-suncoast.org.
WMNF is listener-supported community radio that celebrates cultural diversity and is committed to equality, peace, and economic justice. WMNF provides broadcasts and other forums with a grassroots local emphasis that promotes creative, musical, and political vitality. WMNF advocates for peace, social justice, economic justice through independent media and programming neglected by the mainstream. We embrace diversity, tolerance for others' opinions, and freedom of expression. WMNF celebrates the creative, cultural, and political vitality of the local community. We're your community-conscious radio station, WMNF Tampa.
And also remind you to stay around after the session, because today on It's the Music, it's National Chili Day. So join Stu and Amanda as they play some red hot tunes from 2 to 4, including a tribute to Johnny Winter on his birthday and a look back at the U2 album War, released this week in 1983. Also, they'll have a ticket giveaway to see the band OAR, so tune in today following executive session on WMNF for It's the Music with Stu and Amanda, and following the following It's the Music on National Chili Day, we're gonna get you through the traffic jam. So stay with us all afternoon and through the evening. We're gonna get you home on a Thursday afternoon and get you ready for your pre-weekend Friday. We'll be looking for you. 813-239-9663 will get you into executive session this afternoon, as it has Bill in Homosassa. Good afternoon, Bill. You're in executive session.
How are you today, sir?
Pretty good. How you doing? Did we red surprise hot. You?
I am red hot.
Are you?
Our commander-in-chief, I bet you John McCain was rolling over.
Ooh.
That creep in Vietnam with another communist. It amazes me that this country is so stupid. And I say that with all my heart and soul. You know, this wall thing, we need to tear that wall down.
They are.
Carry it down to Nicaragua.
Oh.
And El Salvador, and just take Mexico over and be done. No, I'm serious. That's what his idol would do, old Putin. He wouldn't put up this crap.
Yeah.
No.
You know, we have some other options, and one of our other options is to begin to look at Guatemala and El Salvador and Nicaragua and to find out if there's anything that we can do to assist those folks in straightening out that mess that we are in.
We can't take care of Venezuela.
Well,
what in the world are you talking about?
Well, I know. I think it's my personal opinion, Bill, that we're up to something in Venezuela.
Well, we was up to something in Vietnam.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I said. This country has fools. I just don't get it. I mean,
boggles the mind.
Yeah. I mean, this country has no health care. Our schools has mold in Hillsborough County. Air conditioners don't work. Bus drivers not qualified. I can go on and on and on and on. And we are, all I hear out of this radio station is about the Connolly, whatever the hell his name was. I mean, he's trying to do right, but we're missing the whole big picture here.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to the United States of America?
Mm-hmm.
We're gone. We're not no more.
Well, I think that there is, now here's what I've noticed, Bill, and this is the thing that looks to me like this little ray of hope, and that is that I saw a lot of people shake out of their lethargy and head for the polls this last election, and I see a lot of people of highly diverse backgrounds and qualifications that are stepping forward to be offering themselves for election. And I see a lot of women. And I got to tell you, first off, women hold a slim majority as far as just the population is concerned. And if they mobilize, and they seem to be mobilizing, I think that you may see a substantial transformation in the way governance is happening in this country.
Buddy, you're preaching to the choir, but I'm talking now. I mean now.
Well, we're not going to fix it this afternoon, Bill.
If you've ever had any or chickens, hens, if you get a fox or a coyote, you shoot it. Now, I don't mean that we're going to assassinate the president. But
that's a good thing. Otherwise, you'll get to find out who the Secret Service agents are in your neighborhood.
Yeah, sure, but if they check me out, they'll probably just let it pass. But anyway, what I'm trying to tell you, you nip it in the bud, it needs to be nipped now. I mean, it's there.
Yeah.
Writing's on a wall. My God,
if Biden or Obama, God forbid Obama done anything this guy done, if I don't pay a traffic ticket, they come and take my driver's license. Eventually, they'll put you in jail over it.
Yep.
And a short order. I'm not talking about 2 years.
Yeah.
No, this is nuts.
And it does. It does seem to me that somehow a turn back to what we could call regular order is called for.
Well, this right now is the house of cards, as far as I'm concerned.
I hear you.
Stack and stack and stack, and it's going to fall down, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Taxes and all, and the repercussions not going to be pretty at all. None.
Well, it's going to be, I'll tell you what, I think it's going to be a tough patch. I really do. I think we've got some, I think we've got some tough water to navigate. And, this is a country that stayed together after it killed 600,000 of its own people in a couple, in 3 or 4 years of a civil war. So, you know, we're pretty tough.
From that, there was the Constitution and rules and regulations, which don't mean jack squat. I watched that thing yesterday, the whole hearing. That is a joke. Total joke. Now, one more question.
All right, quick.
What happened to Rob?
That whole matter is in process. And there is nothing else that we can say about it until that process plays out. You see what I mean?
Yeah, and
at last. Oh, and yeah, there's a statement on the station's website, and that's about all we can say about it at this point.
I looked it all up. Last contribution was made to Rob because he had the patience of Job.
Got it.
And I hope and dearly he does. So,
well, I'll tell you what, Bill. I appreciate your input, and I am glad to talk with you. I always like to talk with you, and I hope that we get to talk again.
Thank you.
Sure enough. And we are square in the middle of the lightning round. We're going to go over here, and we are going to talk to LaDonna in Lakeland. Good afternoon, LaDonna.
Hello.
Hello.
I don't know how we can go have a successful summit without having a complete State Department and a diplomatic corps, or how we could do anything about South America or Central America without a diplomatic corps. We have a few idiots running around the world representing us.
And it's kind of a skeleton crew, isn't it?
Yeah, and they stage these little stunts. I mean, that little stunt yesterday was no different than when he met with Nancy and Chuck. I mean, he went in there and he pissed off and he walked out, and then all of his people say, oh, he's a tough guy. Look what he did. And I mean, it's so frustrating to me, you know. And I mean, it's just game, you know. And all along, I guess they went probably in the back and talked about Russia sending, North Korea goods. You know, and he's probably a salesman in between them. I mean, he's probably a middle guy sending them asbestos and aluminum. I don't know.
Well, it's one of the things that is disturbing to me about this, about the way that this administration is conducting itself, is that in large part, these talks are conducted outside the view of the American public. We don't get to know what they're talking about. Now, I understand that leaders have to have confidential conversations. But, for there not to be a readout of a meeting between two world leaders at a nuclear summit, that's problematic for me.
Some sunshine in there a little bit, a little bit of sunshine anyway to know what's going on. It's crazy.
Yep.
And as far as the other stuff that's going on, I mean, they investigated Hillary Clinton. She stood up and she spoke with them, and they harassed her for years, and came up with nothing. And Mueller has prosecuted and, is going to jail a lot of people. And so I just don't understand it. And really, the reason he's going to jail, and they never asked him, they called him a liar, but he lied about the president being a good man. So they never ask him about the lie, and it's crazy. And I surely look forward to writing. I hope this country writes her ship and the next election. That's the only hope I have.
All right. LaDonna, thank you for giving us a call. You have wrapped up the session for the week, and with any luck, we'll get to talk with you again.
Thank you.
Sure enough. Jason and Zach and Sam, we're not going to get to talk to you this afternoon. We're in the last minute of the session. I got just enough time to remind you once again to stay tuned for It's the Music with Stu and Amanda. It is National Chili Day, so join Stu and Amanda. They're going to play some red-hot tunes from 2 to 4, and there'll be a tribute to Johnny Winter on his birthday and a look back at the U2 album War, released this week in 1983, and they will have a ticket giveaway to see the band OAR, so tune in today following executive session in on WMNF. And always remember, this is Driver 1058, and urging you to keep your head on a swivel, pick that big foot up, and play for me.
Keep your eyes on the road, you have to pound the wheel.
This is WMNF, Tampa.